Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So what? Jesus lives. Big deal. People have been hearing that for 2,000 years. Doesn't seem to have much of an effect on things. Doesn't seem to change the attitudes of the majorities of folks. Doesn't seem to impact nations very much. Seems to me that really the only appreciation for the resurrection of Jesus lies within the church. But on the whole, human society has little regard for Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. But I want to share with you this morning that because Jesus lives, we have three wonderful and profound opportunities and blessings that come into our lives because Jesus lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want us to stand, if we will, in honor of God's Word as we read the 3rd through the 10th verses. Paul the Apostle writes to the Corinthian church, "For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me." May God add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Please be seated. In these few verses, we have at least three evidences, three proofs, if you will, of the resurrection of Jesus. Three historical evidences that Christ has risen physically from the dead. First of all, the Apostle Paul tells us in the few verses starting this chapter, he tells us at least twice that the Bible has declared the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus died and rose again according to the Bible. Now that may not mean a whole lot to a lot of folks. And there may be some here this morning who have no regard for the Bible at all. To you, the Bible is just another book. To you, the Bible is just some ancient literature. And the Bible really has no importance to you. It has really no import into your life at all. But the fact that the Bible has endured the test of time, it has survived kings and kingdoms that have rejected it, ignored it, even tried to destroy it, gives credence to its authenticity. The fact that we still have the Bible intact should say something about the veracity of the Scriptures. I went to college back in the 1970s, and going through college, I purchased books, Bible books, and theological texts, and philosophical texts, and so on and so forth, in order to go through the various classes that I had to take. And some of those books are no longer in print. Some of the authors of those books have died. And some of those books you can't purchase anymore unless you go to a used bookstore and happen to find them someplace. Some of those texts are great texts, and it's a shame that they're not available to folks anymore. And that's just a few years ago, 20, 25, 30 years ago. There have been some wonderful books that have been written 100 years ago that are no longer in print. You can't get them anywhere. And the message that these books contain are not available to the public any longer because these books are no longer in print. Great texts of several hundred years in age, no longer available to folks. But the Bible, The Bible continues to be the best seller all over the world. People are hungry to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, and to listen to what the Lord says in His Word. It has proven the test of time. The fact that countless lives have been radically and positively changed by its message indicates that there's something unique and supernatural about this book. I'm sure all of us in this room today have read books. When I was younger, I read books, comic books, Mad Magazine, Fangora, some of these other books that my father, if he knew I had read them, he would have, I wouldn't be here today. But we've all read books. We've read books on literature. We've read stories and novels. We've read books on mathematics, books in the sciences. We've read books. And all of these books have said something to us and have meant something to us. But how many of us can honestly say that the texts that I have read have had such a profound effect upon me that it has changed my life forever? Now, there have been some books that have impressed me. And there have been some books that have inspired me. And there have been some books that have challenged me. But there has been no book like the Bible that has changed my life. But not only me. Millions of individuals who've come to the truth of God's Word have been changed by its message. Not only do we have the witness of Scripture, but we also have the witness of men. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on a cross. He became the perfect sacrifice for our sin. The Bible says that He rose from the dead, confirming that He is God's messenger and that the message of the gospel is indeed true. But following His resurrection, there were a number of people who saw Him and saw Him physically. The Apostle Paul lists a number of individuals who saw Jesus with their own eyes. He mentions Cephas, Peter, the one who denied Jesus, saw Him physically after the resurrection. Then there was Thomas, old doubting Thomas. I'll not believe until I put my hands in the nail prints and I put my finger in his side. But Jesus appeared, and Thomas, without ever having to stretch out his hand and touch the Master, fell down upon his face and said, "My Lord and my God." All of the disciples saw Jesus resurrected. Over 500 people at one time saw the resurrected Lord. Jesus appeared to his unbelieving brother James, and his unbelieving brother Simon, and his unbelieving brother Jude. And as a result of that resurrected appearance, these became Christians also. James became the great pastor of the Christian church in Jerusalem. Their lives changed. While he was alive in the flesh, they didn't believe. But when they saw him resurrected, they believed. He appeared to all of the apostles. And then the apostle Paul says, "He appeared to me also." Consider, Paul was no country bumpkin. Saul of Tarsus was a well-trained man, a well-educated man. Saul of Tarsus was no idiot. He was an intellect. He was a student of the greatest mind of his day. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was being groomed by the Sanhedrin to take his place among the 70 elders of Israel to become the champion of the Hebrew faith. The Sanhedrin had so much confidence in the apostle, Paul, that they gave him orders to round up Christians. Go out and find these Christians, these heretics, round them up and bring them back to us. Arrest them that they might stand trial. And he gladly did so. He was on the road to Damascus because he'd heard that there was a group of Christians up there, and he had orders in his hands to arrest those Christians and bring them back down to Jerusalem. But while he was on the road to Damascus, the resurrected Lord met him. And Paul's life was forever changed. The one who presided over the deaths of many Christians now became the great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who condemned the saints now commended the gospel And by the work of the Apostle Paul, countless other souls were changed, transformed, brought in to the kingdom of God. Not only did the Apostle Paul, but others like the Apostle Paul, met the Lord Jesus Christ, and their lives radically changed. And through their missionary activity, through individuals like Philip and Peter and Paul and Aquila, and women like Lydia and Priscilla, through their preaching and through their teaching, countless churches were established in Asia, in Africa, and in Europe. Countless souls were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Lives were transformed. False teachers and false prophets were exposed and silenced. Kings and other great leaders were influenced by the Christian faith. And today, thousands upon thousands of Christian churches are living proof, and millions upon millions of living Christians, lives transformed, are living proof that Jesus Christ is resurrected. What do we say about these things? Do they mean anything to us at all? Let me give you three very important truths, three very important blessings that hinge upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, all who trust in Him will be raised from the dead to eternal life, because that's His promise to us. Jesus promised that we would be raised with Him. Because of His resurrection, the gospel that He preached is true. Salvation is real. Forgiveness of sin is sure. And His life in every believer becomes a reality. Now, those of us who know Jesus Christ and those of us who follow Him in our lives, we are blessed beyond measure. The Holy Spirit of God who dwells among us brings into our lives great blessings from God. And these are wonderful things. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you abundantly. And I enjoy that life. And I know all believers enjoy the life that they have in Christ Jesus. But I'm also looking forward to something more than what I enjoy here. Amen? There is a kingdom that He wants each and every one of us to inherit. There is eternal fellowship with God that He wants each and every one of us to enjoy. There's a final and forever freedom from sin and from sorrow and from weakness and from disease and from aging and from death. These are also the benefits of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Secondly, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, all who trust in Jesus will be raised from death to eternal life, because He is the first fruit of those who sleep. Notice what Paul says in verse 20. Look in 1 Corinthians 15:20. Paul says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That phrase fallen asleep simply means those who died in Christ. Well, why does he use the phrase fallen asleep? Because those who've died in Christ are not really dead. They're with the Lord in glory. They're just as alive in heaven as they were here on the earth, without the benefit of a physical body, yes. But their soul remains alive in the courts of glory forever. They're just asleep. They're asleep until the day of the resurrection, when their soul will be reunited with their body in a glorified body. That's why Paul uses the term asleep. But there's another word here that's important. It's the word aparkē. The word aparkē, which is translated in your English Bible as first fruit. And what does all that mean? You have to go back to the Old Testament to understand the significance of the first fruit. In the Old Testament, when the time of harvest came, the children of Israel would go out into the fields and they would begin the harvest. They would go out into the orchards and they would begin the harvest. And the first part of the harvest, the sheaves of the field or the baskets of fruit from the orchards, they would bring that to the temple and they would offer it as a sacrifice, as a thank offering to God. They would bring the first fruits before the Lord and they would say, thank you, Lord, for the harvest. It was not only an offering to say thank you, but it was also a guarantee that the remainder of the harvest would be brought in. And that's the significance of Jesus being the first fruits of those who sleep. Jesus was the first individual to rise from the dead never to die again. He raised Lazarus from the dead down in Bethany, but Lazarus died again. He raised Jairus' daughter from death, but she died again. There were others that Jesus raised from the dead, but each and every one of those individuals died again. Jesus is the first fruit. He is the first to rise from the grave, never to die again. And because He is the first fruit, He is the guarantee that the remainder of the harvest of God will be brought in. That all of those who die in Christ Jesus will also be raised from the dead. That's a second benefit. That is a second blessing. There is a third. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, all who trust in Jesus will be raised from death to eternal life, because we have assurance and confidence in His teaching. Now listen. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then He is a liar. He is a false prophet. He is not to be believed in. He's not to be trusted. And everything that Jesus has said is a lie. There is no truth in it at all if Christ has not been raised from the dead. But because He has risen, everything that He has told us about life and about death and about eternal life is true. It is gospel. Take your Bibles and let's look at John chapter 5, verses 25, 26, and 27. John chapter 5, 25, 26, and 27. Jesus tells His disciples, most assuredly. That word assuredly means with assurance or with confidence. You can trust what I'm going to say, Jesus says. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear, what? Will live. Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth, guys. I'm telling you the gospel, fellas. There is coming a time when those who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. But there is another witness. Let's go over to John chapter 11. Turn right and go to John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus had heard that His dear friend Lazarus had died. Jesus was in Jerusalem, and He and His disciples made their way to Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Lazarus had already been dead 4 days by the time Jesus got to Bethany. And as He was approaching the home of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, Mary and Martha saw Jesus and His disciples coming. Martha ran out to meet Jesus, and she cried out to Jesus, Lord, if You'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus reveals to her a very important truth. Look at verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Now these are just two passages of Scripture where Jesus promises resurrection, where Jesus guarantees that those who put their faith and trust in Him will live again beyond the grave. But there are multiplied numerous texts in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, where God promises that His faithful will live beyond the grave. So because Jesus is risen, we have the promise, we have the guarantee, and we have the assurance that we will also rise from the grave in that great day when Christ comes from glory to receive His children into the kingdom. And all who believe and trust in the Lord, no matter what their language, no matter what their color, no matter what their culture, no matter where they may be located, no matter what generation they may live in, all who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will rise when the trumpet sounds. That's His promise. That's His guarantee, and that's our assurance. Now listen, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, then death is greater than life. Sin is greater than salvation. Darkness is greater than light. Satan is greater than God. If Jesus hasn't risen from the dead. But He has. Jesus has risen from the grave, and He reigns over God's kingdom until all of God's enemies will be placed under His feet. The Apostle Paul says in verse 26 that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death itself. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death. He's risen from the grave. How? Because God raised Him. God raised Him. The Scriptures have been verified by the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus has been raised from the dead, all who trust in Jesus will be raised from the dead, because His resurrection is our hope of resurrection. The hardest individuals to convince that Jesus rose from the dead were those who loved Him most. His disciples were the hardest to convince, but He appeared to each and every one of them personally and intentionally, that they might believe the words that He said were true. The most difficult of the disciples to believe was the Apostle Peter.
Gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to take us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. My gates began to rattle as a voice began to call. I hurried to my window, looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches and the sounds of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary. I went down to let her in. John stood there beside us as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, but none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb the way that Mary said. And the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. Where or why they had taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle. I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculations couldn't lift me very high, for I'd seen them crucify Him and I watched Him die. Back inside my house again, the guilt and the anguish came. Everything I'd promised Him added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew His name. And even if He was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly, the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that shone from everywhere drove shadows from my room. Jesus stood before me with His arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees. I clung to Him and cried. as I looked into his eyes. Love was shining out of him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. Every fear I'd ever had melted into peace. He's alive. He's alive. Yes, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and you're forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and we're forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive.
Dear friends, because he lives, remain standing. David is going to come and lead us in a song. Because he lives, you can live too. And I'm not talking just about physical, animate life here in the flesh. We all have that. But the promise of the risen Savior is, he will grant to everyone who believes in him eternal life. Not everybody has that, because not everybody has Jesus. This invitation is an opportunity for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and live. To know the joy of the forgiveness of sin. To know the peace that passes all understanding because you know the Prince of Peace. To know the hope, the assurance, the confidence that every day you walk in fellowship with Him. And the day that you die, you'll walk with him through the portals of glory. That's his promise. That's his guarantee. That's your assurance. But only in Jesus Christ. I invite you to come and trust him as your Lord and Savior. David, lead us as we sing.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.